Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, October 29th, 2014, episode 10.24, the Week 9 preview show, also known as Happy Halloween Day. 2 days from Halloween, and I'm just one day away from being the parent of a teenager. How scary is that? Well, in this episode, I'll talk about the Redskins saying, "Thank you, Colt. Now go grab a seat." Michael Vick says he's not 24 anymore. Yeah, you think? Tony Romo is questionable for this weekend. Ryan Tannehill is getting tips from a Hall of Famer. And John Isaac says, "I'm not sure Geno Smith is a franchise quarterback." Plus, Derek Hanlon, a one-time Ravies nominee, will represent the fans this week in Week 9. So all I've got to say is, let's chop it in.
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
Plus, this week, there's a whole bunch of teams on a bye, six teams on a bye, so there are only 13 games this week. It'll be a week where you're like, I want more football. Where are all my games? So, going to be a short show. I gave you a 1 hour, 11-minute show in the last episode. Talked a lot, but this one has to be quick. I have to carve pumpkins, do fatherly duties, and get ready, as I said, my oldest turns 13 tomorrow. Got to get ready for her little party. In case you don't know, Game 7 of the World Series is on right now on Fox. And the San Francisco Giants have a 3-2 lead in the bottom of the fifth. They just trotted out Madison Bumgarner. This dude has been amazing in World Series games. He is 4-0 in World Series game with an ERA of 0.29. That is sick. All he has to do is get through the next five innings for the San Francisco Giants, and they will once again win the World Series. He's a little shaky right now. He's, you know, pitching on 3 days rest. He just had that complete game shutout in Game 5 on Sunday. Very interesting there. I know I usually don't talk about baseball, but these are two teams. He gets the bunt down. And the Kansas City Royals now have the tying run at second base in the bottom of the fifth with one out. Bumgarner has thrown just six pitches, but he's already got a runner on, and it's going to be interesting. I usually don't like pitchers coming in and pitching when they haven't had their full rest allotment. But, you know, it's his first relief appearance since the 2010 NLCS in Game 6. We'll see how he does. Continuing through that game. I'll stop talking about baseball and get back to football. But first, I want to say Happy Halloween to everybody wherever you are, however you celebrate this crazy, ghoulish event. I hope you have a good one. We go all out. We dress in costumes and have fun and give candies and the whole nonsense. I know a lot of people are like, but it's such a horrible holiday. It's pagan. I'm not asking you to celebrate. Just let me celebrate it and enjoy it, okay? All right. And also, happy birthday to my baby, Elena Jacqueline. My sweetie turns 13 years old. Yes, I am going to be the parent of a teenager, which in itself is crazy because I often feel like I act like a teenager. So when you put us two together, we're going to start having great fun. Happy birthday, Elena. I love you, kitty, and I know you're listening. So have a great day. I hope your present, concert tickets to your fanboy Shawn Mendes is a lot of great fun. Folks, tickets for the Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 went on sale. And at first I was like, man, Part 1, the book was like 50 pages long. How are you going to make two movies out of it? But then I started thinking, it's Jennifer Lawrence, dude. You get to see a whole bunch of Jennifer Lawrence. And I'm like, yowza, give me more. I love Jennifer Lawrence. She is awesome. Mystique in the X-Men game movies as Katniss Everdeen in these Hunger Games movies. She's really cool. She was also great in that, I don't know, what was the name of that movie? nobody's here to tell me the name of the movie. I'm in the Rave Cave alone today, and I'm kind of scared. I haven't been in the Rave Cave alone in a very long time. Fortunately, I've got Tampa Bay Buccaneer cheerleader Sarah on the wall. How you doing, Sarah? She's looking at me. So I guess I'll be okay, even though it's dark and creepy and there's all kinds of ghouls and goblins outside of the Rave Cave today. Let's start with some NFL news in Washington. So, fresh off their Monday night victory over the Dallas Cowboys, Colt McCoy, you know, led the Redskins to that upset win in Dallas on Monday Night Football. And they say, now, thank you, Colt. Sit down. You are now a backup again. The Washington Redskins have decided to say Robert Griffin III is healthy enough to start, and he has been named the starter this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. There you go. I guess, you know, Colt gives them, helps them win two games, and he is rewarded by saying, thanks, go sit down. Advantage Minnesota, and I think I might even take the Vikings in this game. Next up, Michael Vick, who is now starting for the New York Jets at quarterback position, was interesting. You know, he was asked, they were asked how he's feeling and how he, you know, how he had some turnovers against the Buffalo Bills and what was he thinking. And he responded by saying, I got greedy. I was trying to play like 25-year-old Mike Vick. You have to play with some type of control. Now, first of all, to say that you're playing like someone and then you mention your own name, I think it's pretty weird. It would be like me saying, you know, I'm just trying to bring you the show like Steven Miranda can bring you the show. I've never understood when players do that. I was trying to play like the 24-year-old Mike Vick. Wait a minute. Aren't you Mike Vick? So I don't even understand what that means. But, yes, you're not 24 years old. You could say that. I was trying to play like when I was played when I was 24 years old. But he actually said, I was trying to play like 24-year-old Mike Vick. Thank you, Michael. At least last I checked, you are Mike Vick. So you were just trying to play like yourself when you were younger. We get it. You're not younger anymore. Good luck this week. You're going to need it. You're playing the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. They're going to get after you, man. I hope, for your sake, you play a little bit like the 24-year-old Mike Vick. Otherwise, you are going to get hurt. The Dallas Cowboys are saying that Tony Romo's status for this weekend's game against the Arizona Cardinals is questionable. You know, after they lost to the Redskins on Monday night, they felt that, you know, he was going to be ready to go, that he would not miss any time. But now, a couple days after that game, and he's no longer in the middle of the situation and no longer trying to convince doctors that he's good to go, Cowboy sources are telling NFL media's Albert Breer that the team is taking a day-to-day approach with Tony Romo, and he is not a sure thing for Sunday. Apparently, it's going to depend on how much pain and his pain tolerance of that injury to the back. He's got a contusion back there. Jerry Jones told KRLD-FM that it has nothing to do with the back surgery that he had last year. It's a new injury. It's a contusion. It's pretty painful where it is. And if he can handle the pain and tolerate it and go out there and play, he will play. Now, look, like I said on Twitter on Monday night, Romo is a tough SOB. I mean, he is tough as nails. I've seen him play through a lot of pain and play well. But this is a game now that the Dallas Cowboys have to win. Had they beaten the Washington Redskins and moved on to 7-1, things would have been okay. Now here come the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that on defense, they get after the quarterback. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to do something to win this football game. They cannot lose at home, and they can't lose to the Cardinals. So if Romo cannot be active, if he cannot do what he needs to do to slide in the pocket and buy time with his legs, I say go to Brandon Whedon. Let's see what you got in the backup, because you may need Whedon in the future So let's see what he's got. I want Romo to be 100% so that he can move and buy time with his legs. And if he can do that, then he should start. But we'll have to see what the Dallas Cowboys do and make sure that the medical staff give him the green light. It's going to be Jason Garrett's decision, I think, ultimately, because I think the doctors are going to say he's physically okay to play. But, you know, just because he's physically okay doesn't mean that he should play. Final segment before we get to the weekly picks. Ryan Tannehill, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, said that he's getting help from a special friend. Now, we know the Miami Dolphins hired Dan Marino back in August, and nobody really knew what his role was in the organization. Well, Tannehill says, Dan has been great. He has been around a lot of recent. I have watched tape with him. He has been in a few meeting rooms. He is a great resource to have around with his knowledge of the game, you know, obviously, and the success that he has had. He is always just pointing out little things on tape, whether it's a receiver routes or something I am doing. He is good at picking up little things and passing them along. So here he goes, Ryan Tannehill, sitting in film studies or in quarterback meetings, and in there he's got Hall of Famer Dan Marino giving him tips, pointing out things, and giving him little tricks. That's just impressive. I think it's really cool. I've always liked Dan Marino. Shame he never won a Super Bowl. But definitely in the era that Dan Marino played, where not the rules that you have now. You know, now you have rules that, sure, they help wide receivers. Defenders can't be up and jamming them and holding them. Dan Marino played in an era where, you know, corners could take advantage of wide receivers, could get up there and bump them and hit them and ride them and all that good stuff. Hit them high, go after there and launch at them to knock out the receivers. That's the era Dan Marino played in, and he still put up some fabulous and fantastic numbers. So to have that guy in your pocket teaching you things, not a bad thing at all. Finally, General Manager John Isaac, General Manager of the New York Football Jets, just did an interview with SNY, and he basically admitted that he does not believe Geno Smith is a franchise quarterback. Now, he did say, you know, you want to try to answer that question. You don't want to try to answer that question too prematurely, he said, especially when you're dealing with a younger quarterback in Geno. But no, we don't know that. I don't know that. So if you don't know if you have a franchise quarterback and you've been in there for a while already, what are you going to do? As we know from Mike Vick's comments, he's not 24 years old anymore. What is the future of the New York Jets? Who is the future of the New York Jets? If it isn't Geno Smith, and certainly not Michael Vick. I know he's only been there less than 2 years. I think 20, 21 months he's been the general manager of the New York Jets. But I'm not sure he's got it together. He certainly doesn't have the right team in place on the field to compete the best that they can. So Isaac's got a lot of work to do in New York. I think the Jets and Woody Johnson probably stick with him at least another year, maybe two. But if they don't turn it around in a hurry, comments like, I don't know, I've got a franchise quarterback, Geno Smith, is not going to be good at all. Well, let's get to it. We've got 13 games this week as six teams are on a bye. Lots to talk about, so here we go. I welcome Derek Hanlon to join in as the fans' representative this week. However, Derek's doing pretty well in the picks. I think he won the NFL R&R Pick'em page last week. I think he went 13 of 15 and was the sole winner of the week last week. And this week, he gets pulled up. If you look on the website, he is called Mike Carlson's Shirt. Mike Carlson's Shirt and I only have two games we differ on. And let's get to them. So I'll go through them pretty quickly, give you my picks, his picks, and I'll pick the challenge game, and then I'll get out there and get ready for Halloween. And next week, flying to London. El juego grande estupendo de la semana. Big game. The Denver Broncos travel to New England to face the New England Patriots and the evil empire. The evil empire is looking pretty good right now. They are sitting atop of their division, looking very good, pounding teams over the last several weeks, beating the Chicago Bears 51-23, sneaking out a win against the Jets 27-25, but then beating up on Buffalo 37-22 the week before that. Three straight wins, all looking pretty good. Tom Brady playing huge football right now. He's looking really good as well. But here comes Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, and Bill Belichick saying that probably the best QB he has ever coached against. And I'm not going to say much for Bill Belichick because, you know, it's Bill Belichick and he is who he is. But when you get a compliment like that, when he says that it is the best quarterback he's ever coached again, well, you got to start to listen. And when he says that, he usually means it. Here comes Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos, are just pretty just amazing. They are averaging almost 400 yards of total offense per game. Almost 400. 398.4 is what they're averaging. Manning's passing for just about 300 yards per game, 297. They're even rushing for over 100 yards per game, 101.4. So it's pretty impressive offense. They're scoring 32 points a game. It's going to be a tough task for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. How they're going to stop this team, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they can do it. I know that it's going to be a high-scoring affair. The over-under in that game is 56. 56 points is what Vegas is expecting in this game. And I believe it's going to go over. I think it's going to be something crazy like, you know, 35-30 or something like that. I mean, it's going to be big. I like the Denver Broncos. So, Derek, of course, he likes Denver as well. He says, oh, Manning versus Brady 29, or whatever hyped-up number CBS will go with. The fact is, Broncos are the best team in football, and they're playing like it. 4 weeks ago, everyone said Belichick and Brady was over. Obviously, they're not that bad, but they're not on the same level as Manning and the Broncos. I think this might get ugly. Take Denver and give the 3.5 points. I agree with everything he just said. As a matter of fact, strike that from your memory. Pretend I said everything that he just said right there in that little sentence because that's exactly how I feel. Denver is playing great football. The defense is playing lights out. When you have a defense play as good as the Broncos defense is playing, coupled with the fact that you have Peyton Manning over on the other side, it's just too much for anyone, be it Belichick and the New England Patriots or any other team in the league. Right now, at this moment in time, I don't see anybody else beating the Denver Broncos. We both like Denver. Let's move on to games of the week. We'll start in Dallas, where the Dallas Cowboys play host to the Arizona Cardinals. I am taking the Dallas Cowboys strictly because this, even though they're at 6-2, is a must-game win. They have to win this football game simply because they let one get away against the Washington Redskins on Monday night. Now, Derek likes the Dallas Cowboys as well. He says, I like the Cowboys to respond for that Monday night defeat. Cards are playing well and the run they are on is impressive. But I don't think they can hang with explosive teams who put up points. Only beat the Eagles because they didn't do that. Fumbled and interceptions in the red zone cost Eagles. If Murray continues his running and Romo and Bryant are strong, they should be too much for the Cardinals. I'm just going to go with this. I think it's going to be a Murray show. I think Murray is going to show that he can run against anybody. He's going to run against the Arizona Cardinals. Whether it's Tony Romo or Brandon Weeden back there, I don't think they ask too much of them. I think they're going to rely on Murray and Randall in the ground game, and they're going to have to protect the football. If the Cowboys protect the football, like I know they can protect the football, and not get into a turnover shootout kind of a game, they will win a low-scoring affair like 20-13. I think the defense is showing kinks in its armor. They lose Justin Durant to a torn bicep. However, situationally, I think the Dallas Cowboys defense can step up. When they need to have a play on defense, they generally are able to step up and get that play. That is not something that you could say for the Cowboys defense of last year or even the last couple of years. It was always like, it's third and five. They're not going to get off the field. They don't have what it takes. Well, this team has what it takes. If they get a team in third and long, they're usually going to get off the field. And even in third and short, third and three, third and four, they find a way to pressure the quarterback and get off the field. I think they're going to get after Carson Palmer, force him into some situations where he might turn over the ball. And if they win the turnover battle, Dallas wins the game. Both Derek and I like them. The San Diego Chargers travel to Miami. I like going back to the disco. The Chargers. All right. I like the San Diego Chargers to get a win on the road. So does Derek. Derek says, this is a tough one to pick. Chargers have had two tough losses, still playing well. Dolphins won two after Rodgers' fake spike. Dolphins won two after Rodgers' fake spike and chasing the Bills in playoffs. I think San Diego are just going to edge this one out. Gut call ultimately. Well, it's not a gut call for me. I think Miami struggles when they face pretty good defenses. The San Diego Chargers are that. They're a pretty good defense. And Phillip Rivers is playing great football right now. If it weren't for the fact that Peyton Manning is on the tear that he is on, I think there would be a lot of attention being paid to Phillip Rivers and that offense and the weapons that he's using. I like San Diego to go in there and be just a little too much for Miami. I don't even think it's going to be close in this game. The odds makers in Las Vegas like the San Diego Chargers. It's a pick 'em right now in some places. And some places have the Miami Dolphins as a 1 to 1.5 point favorite. I would say you're getting points. Take San Diego because I think the Chargers win this game outright. Take the Chargers. That's what I will be doing. All right, the New Orleans Saints travel to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers in a game that both of these teams must have. Carolina has a slight half-game lead on the New Orleans Saints in the NFC South. I think this is going to be the challenge game. Derek likes the home team, Carolina Panther team. I like New Orleans. Let's see what Derek has to say about this particular game. He says, I still don't trust New Orleans. They showed last week that they could still be very good, but that's still a could. And that was at home. On the road, totally different story. Carolina ropey, especially on offense. But if D'Angelo Williams is back, it might give Newton options to Benjamin and Olsen. Plus, home, Thursday night football, short week. I'll take the Panthers. I don't care if it's a short week. Carolina just showed over the last several weeks they are horrible offensively. They are relying way too much on Cam Newton, and he is not getting it done. Do you know that he rushed for 14 carries last week and only got 24 yards? That's not good when you're asking your quarterback to be one of your top rushers. It's not going to happen, even if Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams are back to run the football. New Orleans will score points. They will score a lot of them. And Carolina has to get into a shootout with New Orleans. They're just not going to be able to do it. I like New Orleans to win. And since I lost the challenge game last week, it is my week to pick the challenge game. And since we only differ on two games, I'm going to take the New Orleans Saints to win on the road at Carolina. They're actually favored by 3 points to win this game. And I say that's good enough for me. All right, next game of the week, the Baltimore Ravens travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a game where last time the Pittsburgh Steelers got trounced by Baltimore. I think the Ravens beat them by 20. Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a huge game where they rolled 51 points against Indianapolis. Two teams that hate each other, division rivals. They don't like them. They don't like each other very much. But this time Pittsburgh has the advantage. They're at home. Their defense is kind of clicking. They're still giving up points. But I think since they are playing at home, they're going to be all right. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one. And so does Derek. Derek, taking the Pittsburgh Steelers, has the following to say about that game. He says, black and blue game. Hopefully not that bumblebee strip. That's right. The Steelers and that awful uniform that they play, that throwback uniform. Don't really like, he says, a tough one, but Steelers played well to cuff the Colts and are at home. Plus, they want revenge for that 26-6 scalping they got in Baltimore. You'd guess it'd be by a field goal, but taking the Steelers to win and tie the season series, I agree. These two teams play each other well. They usually spill it within the season series, and Pittsburgh is due to take one from Baltimore. I like them to win in a close game. Something like 20-17, 20-14. It's always low scoring when these two teams play each other. But I'll take Baltimore and Ben Roethlisberger coming off his huge 522-yard performance from last week. Final game of the week, the Philadelphia Eagles travel to Houston to face the Houston Texans. This is the second and only other game that myself and Derek Hanlon differ on. Derek is taking the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm pretty sure I know why, Mr. Eagles fan. I'm taking the Houston Texans at home. Let's see first what he has to say. Gut check game for the Eagles. They have to keep up with the Cowboys. The Texans are playing well, and they have my first half MVP, J.J. Watt. If they can contain Foster and Peters and Johnson can slow Watt and Clowney, and if Foles can be accurate, that's a lot of ifs. Got to take my Eagles in a game like this, and the fact you haven't made it the challenge game makes me think it's not that daft. that's funny. All right, Derek. Yeah, I'm not making it the challenge game, mostly because I tend not to make games the challenge games that have NFC East teams, mostly because, you know, there's a little monster inside of me that as much as I want to remain neutral, it tries to take over me, kind of like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And although, you know, Dr. Jekyll, he's like, no, you know, he's trying to stay neutral in the NFC East. You know, Hyde comes out, roar, blah, 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 blah. You got the Philly, nah, nah. But the bottom line is that's really not what's going into account here. I like the Houston Texans simply because they're getting Jadeveon Clowney back. Put him together with J.J. Watt, and I feel sorry for Foles. That offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles hasn't been all that great. They've been chasing Nick Foles around. He has been getting hit. Here comes Clowney and Watt, and if the Houston Texans can get Cushing back in this game, I think they're going to get after him. I think they might even smack him around so much that he makes a couple of mistakes and turns over the ball either by fumble or INT. He has been throwing a lot of INTs lately. as much as he didn't throw an INT last season, Foles has become an INT machine. And with the pressure of Clowney and Watt coming after him, he may throw a couple more. I'm going to go with Houston's defense. And since they're in Houston, I like them even more. Philadelphia hasn't been all that spectacular on the road. I'll take the Texans to get the win. We'll make it the challenge game. I'll stick with New Orleans at Carolina for that. All right. Final games. Here goes. Games of importance. From here on out, Derek and I are going to agree on all the picks. We've got all the exact same picks from here on out. We'll start with the Indianapolis Colts traveling to New York to face the Giants. We both have Indy in this football game. He says, Colts have been looking good and Luck is playing very well before Sunday. Don't really like the Giants, but I'm surprised they're 3-4. Maybe it's my Eagle glasses on, 27-0, you know. They did shellack the Giants. And they're off a bye. I think the Colts are better. Seems like a game to put on a Matt Bradshaw, and maybe Hakeem Nicks will try to prove his worth for a new contract. All right, there you go. I like the Indianapolis Colts too, and he's right. Nicks has even come out and said, I've been saving a little something for the New York Giants. Trust me, he's going to want to come out and make a statement, and if Andrew Luck can get him the ball, he is going to ball out in this game to show the Giants they made a mistake in letting him go. We both like Indy. The St. Louis Rams travel to San Francisco to face the San Francisco 49ers. We both have the 49ers in this one. And Derek says, it's always a close game, but I could never bring myself to take the Rams. Trust me, you don't want to take the Rams. 49ers still not fully firing, but they're coming off a bye. We'll have schemes for Kaepernick to work out and confuse Davis on D. Think the Rams will also suffer from having beaten Seahawks and 49ers paying even more attention to their division rival than maybe they usually do. I think that's a very good point. The Rams haven't beaten Seattle. It means that San Francisco is going to be on high alert for all kinds of tricks and fakes and, you know, fake punts and punt returns coming from the other side of the field. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to have the 49ers ready and prepared for all of that nonsense. So I think that I'll stick with San Francisco 49ers. Derek has them as well. The final game of importance, the Washington Redskins travel to Minnesota to face the Minnesota Vikings. As I said earlier on the show, RG3 is getting the start. I'm sorry, a gimpy RG3 coming off of what, being off of his ankle for like 6 weeks, getting the start on the road against Minnesota. The Vikings, who, you know, they just held the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to what, 13 points, something like that. The defense is pretty good, playing pretty good football right there from Minnesota. I like them. Let's see. He says, another tough one for me with two meh teams. Redskins likely to bump down back to earth after the Cowboy game. Still got Bumblebee, Tuna, McCoy. Well, that's not true. RG3 is starting. Vikings back at home after second tough road game and OT win last time out. Teddy to get the W. Yeah. I think Bridgewater will do enough, and RG3 won't do enough. And people in Washington are going to start questioning what Gruden is doing. You got a hot hand, ride the hot hand until it's not hot anymore. And I think RG3 is not going to get hot in this game. Then we have the only one game of interest, and I don't even know why it's a game of interest. The New York Jets travel to Kansas City to face the Kansas City Chiefs. We both have Kansas City in this game, and Derek says, Jets are woeful. Yes, they are. Feel sorry for the Chiefs in a way. Better than average football team going about their business. Unfortunately, they play in the same division as the Broncos and Chargers. All they can do is win these games and hope that 9 or 10 wins can sneak them into the playoffs. Did I say the Jets are awful? Yes, you did. The Jets are awful. I can't believe I took them as a challenge game last week. I'm not sure I will ever take the New York Jets again this season. Just not going to happen. I like the Kansas City Chiefs to take care of business. They may even be my challenge game win. All right. Finally, the nap games. Tampa Bay at Cleveland. We both have the Browns. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. We both have the Bengals, Oakland at Seattle. We both have the Seahawks. Seriously, those three teams right there, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Oakland, they have zero shot of winning these games. So much so, Cincinnati's favored by 14. I think it's come down to 12 now, but it opened at 14. The Seattle Seahawks are favored by 16.5, and the Cleveland Browns are favored by a touchdown. When's the last time Cleveland was favored by a touchdown at any point? It's the Oakland Raiders, man. I mean, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They just beat Oakland. I'm sure they'll take care of Tampa Bay and their seven and the seven. I'm not sure I'd go with the seven, but I'm sure they'll win the game. That's it. That's all I, Tom, I've got for today. Happy Halloween. As I leave you, it is the end of the seventh with the San Francisco Giants still holding on to a 3-2 lead. And, of course, Madison Baumgartner is just mowing down Royals left and right. Let's see if they can continue that. Thank you very much for listening to see all of these picks and how the fans are doing against me in the challenge game. Make sure you head out to www.nflrnr.com. Also, check out the social media handles for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram there so you can see what we're doing, especially as I get ready to head off to London next week so you can see some of the cool stuff that I'll get to do as I cover this Dallas Cowboys and the Jacksonville Jaguars from Wembley. You all have a great weekend of football. Week 9 coming at you. Only 13 games. I'm out. Stephen Miranda for NFL Rants and Raves.